Right now, Office Space, The Final Frontier. If you're listening to this while sitting in your spare bedroom surrounded by the trappings of your small business, it might be time to look into co-working. We talk with principals at two of Nashville's co-working locations about how Music City is adapting to this new way of literally doing business. Plus, a Bar Camp Nashville update. It's Saturday, October 16th at Cadillac Ranch, in case you were wondering. What we're consuming and so much more on this, episode 26 of the Nashville Tech Feed.
The keyboard. How quaint.
To the Batmobile.
Are you pondering what I'm pondering?
You're excited! It's feeling simple!
You have some mighty interesting people online.
Welcome to episode 26 of the Nashville Tech Feed, the show that dives into the tech news from Nashville and that affects Music City. I'm your host, David Baranja. I'm an independent web developer and designer and self-proclaimed geek, tech geek in fact. Everything you need to know about the show is at NashvilleTechFeed.com, where you can leave us voicemail, comments, you name it. This week, we're diving into co-working spaces, and we have representatives from two of the three that are located in Music City, in a.k.a. Nashville. But first, let me introduce my co-host. He's an independent journalist and an instructor at Belmont University's Media Studies Department. And he's also one of the focus prime head honchos at Bar Camp Nashville that's coming up when?
Oh, that would be Saturday, October 16th at the Cadillac Ranch, Dave.
Thanks, Lucas. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. We are, we are firmly in the midst of the countdown to Bar Camp. So this will be up, right at the end of September. So we're looking at 3 weeks plus, a little bit, to the launch of Bar Camp. Really excited about it. We've got a lot of great sessions lined up. We've got some fantastic sponsors that have stepped up to help us serve Nashville's tech-inspired community as best we know how, and it's going to be a great day out there. But we've got a great, you know, about half hour worth of conversation about co-working coming up here. So why don't you introduce our panelists.
Are very special of panelists.
Exactly.
First, eSpace's co-founder and operations guy, Josh Bowling. He is on the line. Hey, Josh, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, Dave? I'm doing all right, man.
Glad you joined us. To the audience out there that have heard me complain about my technical issues, this is actually version 2 of this number 26 episode, and I'm so thankful that you came back and gave me a second chance, or gave us a second chance. So thank you so much.
Oh, man, happy to be here.
See, we're all about transparency here on the Nashville Tech Feed. You know, we'll admit that we've screwed up on multiple occasions, but we felt this was an interesting enough endeavor to go get everybody back, get the band back together, and give this a second shot.
Absolutely. And we have one more guest panelist. She's the director of CoLab downtown Nashville, and we have Kaylee Hussey. How you doing, Kaylee?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing good, and I thank you for coming back for a second try of episode 26.
Absolutely.
Well, now, kind of going back, we had a few episodes on entrepreneurship in Nashville, and we had Marcus Whitney and Chris Ennis on. And one of the things that came up in, you know, kind of kickstarting entrepreneurship in a city is kind of the co-working spaces. And we have CoLab, which opened up earlier this year, you said, in January?
Yeah, January.
And then eSpaces, which just recently kind of had a grand opening. Josh, when did you guys kind of open your doors?
Well, we had a soft opening July 6th, and our grand opening is actually October 12th. So we're in the middle of a kind of a formal grand opening process right now. It's coming up.
Okay, excellent. Well, I look forward to that big shindig. Is it going to be one of those things where we buy a $5 cup and there'll be free beverages for adults only?
Actually, since this is take number 2 of episode 26, you have to buy like a $1,000 table, and then you can come in and we'll give you all the drinks you can have.
I'll get back to you on that.
No, you're welcome to come.
And for everybody out there listening, that was my attempt at humor. He had not said anything about that, so we will wait for the official announcement from eSpaces. So just to put that disclaimer out, because every week our disclaimers seem to get longer, right, Lucas?
Yeah, pretty much. We need to write these out ahead of time and actually probably pre-produce them. Just, you know, the opinions expressed by Thus and So do not necessarily reflect the other opinions expressed by Thus and So. And I don't know. We're going to need to talk to some lawyers probably before this is all said and done.
Oh, absolutely. So, Josh and Kaylee, for people out there listening that aren't really familiar with your co-working spaces, why don't we just each take a turn and kind of tell our audience out there what, you know, where you guys are located and, you know, what kind of setup you have and some, you know, fascinating things that might, you know, interest them. Kaylee, you've got a buzz.
Yeah, I'm trying to fix it. I'm trying to move around.
Okay. Sorry. We'll have to edit in post.
Once again, all about the transparency. It's the...
Is that your computer, or is that something in the background?
It's, I think it's my computer.
Is that a fan?
Weird, it's like a feedback.
Do you have headphones you could plug in?
Yeah. I got those.
Real quick. That might work.
Okay. Hold on 1 second, sorry.
Okay. Do you want to just stop your timer real quick?
Yep.
We will get the show off, even if I have to use, what's the thing we use? It's like the did.
Morse code.
Morse code.
That would be the coolest thing ever.
That would be nice.
We should find the last four Morse code operators on the planet and just feed them lines that we say back and forth through each other. Of course, then we have to find people who could read it back to us. But to do an entire podcast in Morse code, that'd be kind of awesome.
You know how long that show would be?
Because I know, it'd be ridiculously long.
But we could be like, we could do the, what is it, the thing from where they were calling up. It's like, you know, so-and-so, stop.
Yeah.
So-and-so, stop.
Hard stop.
All right, Kaylee.
Okay, I've got headphones. Does it sound better to you guys?
Yeah, there's no feedback.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great.
Okay. So we'll come back as
come back and just and kind of rephrase that question again as far as talk about what the what each of your facilities can offer, that kind of thing. So if you want to count back into that and and then we'll go from there.
Okay. So Josh and Kaylee, kind of for our audience out there, why don't you give them a little overview of each of your facilities and kind of highlight some of the things that stand out, because you guys both have, you know, very distinct locations that I actually find fascinating, because I've been to both of them. So, Josh, why don't you go first and kind of share with us what you guys got going over there?
Yeah, so we're at the... I always like to say we're at the corner of White Bridge Road and West End. And so we're in the Hill Center Belmead, four floors above Sweet CeCe's, if you know where that is, there off of West End. And we've got about 8,500 square feet and a balcony there. You know, pretty much what you would think. We've got, it's blanketed in Wi-Fi. We've got five different size meeting rooms. All kinds of open co-working type seating and open seating for folks to work in. Plenty of wall plugs, unlimited phone calls outside of the space, free copies, you know, business address, phone number, and voicemail. That's what we offer. And then our folks buy memberships ranging anywhere from, you know, 10 hours a month, all the way up to 20 days a month. And also there's nights and weekends packages, and we're open 24/7. So that's kind of that's a the rap sheet of what we've got over there at our Bellmead location.
Now, do you get a certain spot where you can set up with, you know, the picture of the family and you know the
yeah, you know, we don't do that yet. We are all open seating, so we don't have dedicated offices where folks can hang their pictures. We actually had somebody come in early on and said, "But where do I put my pictures?" And I said, "Well, you know, that's not really what we're designed to do. We're kind of hitting a different need," and kind of I actually directed them toward Colab and some other spots for that. But yeah, so we don't have dedicated offices, but we've got a lot of different types of open workspaces and then meeting areas in our location.
So it's kind of like the people that have been going to the coffee shops and places like that they're ready for the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's folks that are working in coffee shops, they're working in bars with Wi-Fi, they've got killer home offices that work great for them about, you know, 80% of the time. But they need a place to meet clients, they need a place to get out and work out of the house, they need a place to go work when they can't go work in the coffee shops. And they need a community that kind of is of a similar mindset. And that's kind of what we're trying to provide.
Excellent. Sounds well, I've been there, and it's just a beautiful location. You walk in, and you guys had done it up. I wish I could just describe it, but I couldn't do it justice. So,
but you can just tell everybody to come by and see it. That's the best way to describe it, right?
Yeah, well, you got on your website, though, you have photos of the space.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's eSpaces.com?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So go and check that out, and if you're listening, it'll show you. Just trust me, it's beautiful. Kaylee, kind of give us an overview of your location and what you guys got going with at Colab.
Yeah, absolutely. We have we're located downtown. We're off of 4th Avenue between Church and Union, and right across the street from the arcade. We're in the Wachovia Plaza building and off the first floor there. And what we have two different types of office space that we offer. We have a dedicated office where you can set up your company. It's a closed door that you can lock. We have 16 of those office suites. And then we also have an open area with desks that people can rent out from month to month. And we do part-time memberships and full-time memberships. Part-time is 2 days a week, full-time 5 days a week. And with that, you get print, fax, and copy services, internet, use of a conference room, and also your mail services there. So we also have we have conference room, and then we also have an event space that seats 60 people, up to 60, and community projector. And so those are some of the amenities that we offer. But we also try to do community events as well. So everybody who's a member of Colab can have a chance to get to know each other, bounce ideas off of each other, and whatnot.
Excellent.
Let me ask this. What were the driving factors for each of your organizations choosing your locations? Why, Josh, did you guys choose that, you know, edge of Bellmead area versus Kaylee? Why did downtown come up? What were the kind of factors that led to you guys choosing each of those spaces?
Well, we have Colab has another location in Orlando that started about 2.5 years ago, and it's downtown, and it just seemed like the urban atmosphere was something that we worked for us, and something that drove a lot of the kind of niche community that we were looking for, kind of the creatives and people who like to, you know, walk to work or bike to work or something like that. So that's why we looked for a downtown location here in Nashville.
Gotcha. Josh?
Yeah. You know, on eSpaces, one of the big things was that intersection of West End and Whitebridge Road is the 9th busiest intersection in the Nashville MSA. Mm-hmm. And so we knew we'd get a lot of traffic there. We also, one of our strategies is we look for mixed use developments. And the Hill people over at HD Hill do a really good job with their Hill Center developments. because we felt like we wanted to get as much of a downtown feel where you could walk to things that you needed as we could, while taking advantage of some of the a little bit more not you know, acutely urban locations. And so that was a big piece of it. And then we did know some of the areas around, like the Sylvan Park areas, the Whitland area, Green Hills, you know, up west on West End, where there tended to be a lot of self-employed folks, a lot of creatives in the Sylvan Park area, some folks like that. And we talked to a lot of people and did a little bit of homework and found that, you know, the people that we were trying to reach in that west, southwest Nashville area that lived pretty close to that location. And then those are some of the driving factors as to why we chose there.
Mm-hmm. It seems like you guys have both very distinctly different companies going on there. I mean, one is the open coffee shop next level, while Colab is more of a little bit more the traditional, where you can get your own space and that's kind of your location.
But neither one of them feel like, you know, executive suites. And I've been in those as well, where, you know, you pretty much feel like you're in a box and not really encouraged to interact with others in the same kind of situation right around you. So that's a positive on both fronts.
Yeah. I think, for me, I think what's really cool about, what Kaylee's doing and what we're doing is we are asking people to think differently about how they use space for a corporate, for their corporate life. And, you know, we may do it a little bit differently than Kaylee, and Kaylee may do it a little differently than we do. And the beauty of it is, in any city that we go to in the world, there are more people than either one of our organizations can service. And we are both getting to be Kaylee, obviously, don't let me speak for you. Sorry, I do that a lot. My wife yells at me all the time. But what's really cool, I think, is that we both get to be a part of saying to people, hey, however you like to do this, just think differently about how you use space and then come and check us out.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think the way technology has developed has changed the way we're going to do our work and our office life. And so I think these are just new ways to look at that and to work. So, I'm excited to be a part of it like you are, Josh.
Well, we're having a fascinating and spirited conversation about co-working spaces. But Dave, I think we need to do a little business here before we carry on.
Absolutely. Well, the first thing is, this show is sponsored by Lucas's needing a fan in his computer. We ask you. No, just kidding.
No. No telethon for my poor beleaguered laptop.
We need $35. $1 can help you get the show going. But seriously, we have an affiliate account with site5.com. That's our host. And we've been with them since 2006. And they are an amazing company. They web hosting as little as $4.95 a month. It's amazing support. You ever have any trouble, it's almost immediate response. I had a small little problem, and within like 2 hours, it was fixed, and I was, you know, smooth sailing. They are guaranteed 99.9 uptime, and if they go down, they've actually credited my account for that mistake. So, if you want to check out Site5 and help the Nashville Tech Feed, go to nashvilletechfeed.com/site, the number 5. And back to our show.
That was a little abrupt, but good.
Hey, I'm getting better at that. So we're here with two fascinating people that are talking about co-working. We have Kaylee Hussey and Josh Bowling from eSpaces. And so now let's kind of dig into more of the overall co-working entrepreneurship trends that are going on and what you guys are seeing from what you've been doing in your locations. So the first question I have throwing out there is, do you see more entrepreneurs or do you see more independent people that just need a new location, like a new location than where they're at previously? Kaylee?
Yeah. I think it's mostly entrepreneurs in CoLab. I'm finding people who've started a business and they are used to working out of coffee shops or home, and they're looking for to look a little more professional or have a little more just a steady space that they can go to and separate their home and work life. And so that's mostly what we see in CoLab. I would say more entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I think at eSpaces, what we're seeing is kind of a cross section of folks. Dave, I may give you a hard time a little bit because I don't really delineate between an entrepreneur and an independent. You know very well that if you're an independent, you've got to think like a business owner. So I would agree with Kaylee that most of the folks we see are entrepreneurs. Now, some of them may be single person shops that most of us consider as independents, whether those are independent attorneys or freelance authors or independent tech folks that I would consider. You know, that's what I did for 7 years before starting eSpaces. You know, I was a gig guy and I went all over the country doing that kind of work. But then there are also what we've seen is we've got companies that are started by an individual, but then have a core team of probably anywhere between 2 and 7 additional folks. That they don't need a place all the time, but they need a place to come together. They're very virtual. They're used to it. They're comfortable with the technology, but they need a place to meet face to face and just bounce stuff off of each other while they're looking at in each other's eyes. And then the third category, which was a little bit surprising actually, when you think about it, but really refreshing once you get on the other side of it, is we're seeing a lot of larger company corporate management teams really interested in the co-working movement. And it's because they know what it can do for their overhead expenses, and they also like being able to get out of the office and brainstorm in an environment that lends itself to creativity. And so we're seeing some executives that buy memberships just to get out of their office so that they can actually get some work done or have a place or have a place to think. And that's kind of what we're seeing on our end right now anyway.
What other elements of the co-working experience? I mean, I'm probably giving this a loftier kind of mindset than maybe it deserves, but I mean, are there other things that Nashville doesn't have yet or you guys who are working in it daily, other aspects that wouldn't work as well here as maybe they're doing in an Austin or a Boulder or, you know, wherever else co-working is kind of taken off?
Well, let me, Kaylee, do you have any thoughts on that? I think I know what you're talking about. Lucas, I think what you said was, what do we not have in Nashville that could make co-working that much better? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it's a much better statement of what I was trying to have.
Right. I was trying to understand. Yeah.
So I think for me, what Nashville, and actually Dave and I were talking about this before we all patched on, but I think Nashville really, really, really needs to embrace the walkable community or something like that. I mean, Kaylee, you probably are able to take advantage of that more being in an urban environment where folks can walk over from East Nashville or ride their bike from East Nashville or ride their bike from 12 South downtown or from the Gulch and get to your spot. You know, where we are, Nashville is tied to their vehicle, and their auto, their automobile, to be specific. And I think, you know, if I think of a city like Boulder that's really bikeable, or, you know, obviously some of the larger metro areas like Chicago or New York City or Seattle, where they have the mass rail, or even really nice bus systems that people embrace. I think co-working environments will benefit from those types of infrastructure being out there. And Nashville's just not there yet. My hope is that Nashville will get there sooner rather than later.
See, I want a monorail from downtown, right down West End, all the way to Bellevue.
And that'd be great.
Cool. I think it'd be awesome.
Well, that would
what
be
you,
great.
What would you build that over, though? I mean, how about just a zip line? Let's just do a zip line from like the Batman building right to the Hill Center. I think that would be...
No, what I'm saying is they could put it down the middle, right down the middle, you know, single, take out a little bit of the center, and put up above the road the stations. And I can tell you, people would ride that. I would still live in Bellevue if I had that opportunity. But
yeah, I would say a strong, efficient public transportation system would be huge for co-working spaces. I think that's one of the biggest hurdles about downtown is parking. Everybody's like, well, where do you park? And we've worked with a lot of garages and gotten discounted rates and whatnot. But that if people could just drop in and not have to worry about where they put their car for a couple of hours while they work, that would be a big deal for us.
Sure. I mean, I think that would be a lot of the biggest part of the, I don't know, the stalling out of the urban development of downtown has been in that parking situation. We just we are, you know, for good or ill, tied to our vehicles, and we want that ready access to come and go as we please. And that's why, you know, I think there's been a stalling out, along with the economic factors, obviously, of for all these condos that went in down there and all this development that sits there, you know, grievously empty. But you know, we'll see if that starts to take hold here. I think there's a community that wants it, and given the opportunity to see it in action, I think they will pursue it.
You know, I think something that's interesting about that, and I won't beat this horse, but I mean, I think if you think about it, it's coming, because if you look at our Greenway system, I can leave E-Spaces on a bike, and I can start on the Greenway 50 yards from our elevator bay, and I can get all the way down to the river on a bike. I go through Sylvan Park and I go all the way down West End. But people just don't, I don't know if it's just not that the Greenway systems are not communicated, or people just don't know them, or they just don't want to do it yet. But I think it's coming, and I see things that they're building that are going to be really cool, and it's going to make it easier. And it's pretty exciting to see that happen. And you know, right now I was talking to one of our members the other day, and she said, I really wish I could ride my bike. And I said, where do you live? And she told me, and I said, do you realize you can, because the Greenway stops right here? And so it's things like that where we're just educating people about how to take advantage of what is there now. And I think as everybody continues to get more knowledgeable about it, and as the infrastructure continues to be built, we'll probably crack that nut.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's also, I mean, the Music City Circuit that started, I think, in March downtown, that rotates around the Gulch and the downtown area and goes out to the farmers market. And a lot of times when I give tours, I'll explain it, and a lot of people didn't even know it was down there, and it's free. And then also in August, they just started a bike share downtown, where you can ride a bike around downtown for free.
Right.
So there's things coming, I feel like.
Well, I know that one of your members, Kaylee, is certainly very, very big on both the bike route and the Music City Circuit. That is when she can stay upright on her bike,
right?
And doesn't crash it. That is the omnipresent elsewhere, but never present on the Nashville Tech Feed. Our very own Matt Damon, Kate O'Neill,
yes,
who's metamarketer.com folks are stationed down there at Colab. So
yes, they are. Yeah, we're happy to have them. Yeah, and Kate, when she can get there.
Yes, when she can get there, she doesn't fall off her bike.
Right.
Has she fallen off her bike? Really?
She actually.
Oh, that's right.
Going home from a bar camp meeting a couple weeks ago, took a spill in front of a large truck. It was one of those, you know, life flashing before her eyes. And I'm sure in Kate's case, it was pretty interesting. But I don't know. But no, this has been a fascinating conversation. But I think it gives us a little glimpse into the co-working world as it relates to Music City. But now we need to find out what we're doing outside of our work world, Dave.
Absolutely. Now, can I deviate for 1 second, because I feel that we need to mention this. Is so we have Colab and eSpaces, and I want to bring up real quick, you know, thoughts on the Nashville Entrepreneur Center, because we had Todd Featherling on a couple episodes ago talking about that, and he brought up you guys, and I want to give ample opportunity for, you know, just a few moments thoughts on that. Do you guys feel the Entrepreneur Center is competition, or is this all you guys all working together on this, like, you know, helping each other?
I would personally love to work with the Nashville Entrepreneurship Center. I think that's something that it could be a great partnership in working together on what they can offer, and us just being an overflow of space, really.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've talked with Michael Burcham, who, you know, I think if you asked 1,000 people in Nashville that knew the situation, probably 999 of them would say he's the guy to get this thing kicked off. Mm-hmm. And we've talked with Michael. We're going to be involved with them on the Entrepreneur Weekend. We're going to we're working with them on that, and going to be involved in that. And some cool things they're doing around there. And I think that EC, you talk about what's needed in Nashville for co-working and for that. The EC is a huge step in the right direction to really talk about infrastructure for entrepreneurial growth and co-working and the things that Kaylee and we are trying to achieve. We will benefit from everything that the EC does. And so I don't see them as competition at all. I see them as part of the infrastructure that's needed in order to get Nashville to where it needs to be from a technological standpoint, but also just from an entrepreneurial infrastructure standpoint. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, that was pretty much a consensus he had as well, that we're all building this together. So, well, excellent conversation, guys. I'm glad that this went off without a hitch.
We're not done yet. It can all just fall apart here, you know, momentarily. Sorry,
I just need to put it
being so negative as per usual.
Yes, be more positive, Lucas. Final segment of our show, we go in, pretty much it's what we're consuming. And to everybody out there, new listeners or repeat listeners, we're going to share what we're reading, watching, listening to. Just something interesting that we would share with you out there that you're just like consuming right now, whether it be, you know, a Diet Coke or an app or something to that extent. So, Lucas, do you want to kick it off?
I do. I'm just making sure that my latest obsession is still available in the iTunes App Store. You know, there's always a lot of conversation in any social gathering with people who are in the iPhone world about Words with Friends. The bastardized Scrabble. Yeah, oh, wait, I probably shouldn't use Scrabble because that's a registered trademark. But last night, I ran across, and I'm assuming this is tied in with the recent International Talk Like a Pirate Day, which was Saturday, September 19th is the annual International Talk Like a Pirate Day. There is a new game, and I think it's only going to be there briefly, called Words with Pirates. It's the exact same layout, the same, you know, double, triple letter, double, triple word, you know, placement as Words with Friends. But it's a much more limited alphabet that you are drawing from. It's basically Y's, R's, A's, and G, A's, G's, and H's, and exclamation points. And you are basically being encouraged to spell some sort of variation on what these people think pirates say, like yarg and gar, and, you know, with three or four R's strung along in a row.
Do you get extra R's in this?
Yes. I mean, you get extra all of them. I mean, there's no B's, there's no Z's, there's no Q's. It's just, I think it's, if I'm remembering correctly, I think it's just those set of, you know, Y, A, R, G, N, H, and exclamation points. And so you can spell gar and rar and yeah. And if you've got enough R's in the tray, you can, you know, expand that sucker out as far as it will go. And I think the exclamation points are especially a nice touch. Because I think they're 10 points apiece, and you get them on an accelerator, and you can just – your point values go through the roof. So I think it's only going to be – if I remember reading correctly, it's only going to be in the App Store for a short time. And it looks amazing. I mean, they really – For something, if it's only going to be around for a little while, it's kind of a shame because the fit and finish on the game is really, really cool. But yeah, Words with Pirates. On the screenshot on the iTunes store right now, it's you know, saying Sea Dog played Yarg, Y-A-R-R-R-G-H, exclamation point, for a total of 33 points. So yeah, you get to you can bump up your point values pretty dramatically with words with pirates. So there you go. That's what I'm consuming.
That's brilliant, Lucas. I tell you. See, I've held off trying to do Words with Friends because, first of all, I would be horrible at it, and second of all, I do not want to get sucked into another community game where everybody, when they see me out, how come you haven't played? It's your turn.
yes, that's the thing. But again, and Words with Friends, everybody that, you know, comes up to, oh, I'd hate to play you because, you know, you're a writer. It's like, it's not about vocabulary. It's about pattern recognition. If you can figure out where those little, and knowing all those little two and three letter words, you'll be great at it. You want to talk, you know, of course, our friend Kate, the linguist that she is, by academic training, just kills everybody I know. And she'll beat me by like 250 points. It's insane. Yeah. I beat her twice by very small margins, twice in a row, and I've very seriously considered retiring from Words with Friends altogether because, hey, I beat the wonderful Kate O'Neill. But no, she sucked me back into a game, and now, you know, my ego continues to take a hit every time I play her.
Well, I will take those words of advice to heart. So, Kaylee, what are you consuming?
Right now, I think I am hooked on Friday Night Lights. Somebody actually in CoLab was telling me that I have to watch this TV show, and I was like, okay, and kind of just watched the first episode, and I couldn't stop for the next like three episodes. And so I think that's what I'm hooked on the most right now. It's a really good show. They compare it to House with the character development and everything. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Excellent. Did any of you guys see the premiere of, what was it, Lone Star?
No, I didn't watch it.
No, me either.
Well,
Isn't it supposed to be Dallas for the 21st century or something like that?
Well, just so you know, if you didn't see it, you're never going to, because it's been canceled after
already.
Wait, wait, wait! I just saw the commercials for that.
They were pretty much saying they were going to make the call today if it was going to be canceled, because they lost 70% of their audience after House.
Wow.
Yeah. That's brutal. You got to wonder, you know, whoever it's a Fox show, right?
Or, yeah, oh, absolutely.
I'm sorry. It was a Fox show. right. You got to wonder if they were just sitting there and watching Twitter feeds and going, "This sucks." This is, that they canceled it like in the middle of the show. They're in, you know, minute 37 of the show and go, "Yeah, this one's not coming back."
It's kind of like a Simpsons episode. They just pull it and put like an episode of Krusty
exactly.
on.
Put a test pattern there. Oh,
no, it hasn't
man.
Been canceled yet, but they're saying it's pretty much at like odds of getting a second episode that I don't understand. It's like you've already paid for the episodes. Why not just air them?
They'll throw them out there on Hulu or something. And I mean, they won't get their money back, but wow.
Well, I saw on Twitter that they actually pulled the online episodes too already.
Oh, dear God.
I don't know if they just thought it was that bad. I don't know. It's all Twitter hearsay, so I'm just going to, you know, believe it at that. So.
Well, and that's a, you know, that's a fascinating side effect of what we are dealing with these days, because you can see, based on, you know, the social network exposure of these things, especially in the movie business, where they will track that stuff just to watch what, you know, what the you no longer get an opening weekend anymore. You get an opening couple of hours. And if the West Coast starts to look at the Twitter feed, they can see that per theater average go down depending on how bad the word of mouth is coming east to west. So it's insane. There obviously there's a lot of great stuff about how interconnected we are, but it's also incredibly detrimental to a lot of the things that we've kind of come to take for granted.
No, they're saying that pretty much is going to freak out all the networks now, that they're just going to stick with like safe things, like, you know, remakes of Hawaii 5-0.
Oh, great. Crap. More reality shows. Really excited about that.
Right.
So, Josh, what are you consuming?
Well, from a book standpoint, I'm reading The Adventures of Tom Sawyer right now to my two little boys. And the reason I put that on there is because I'm doing it on the iPad, which is really cool, because I'm having them read it. They're 8 and 5. And I'm having them read it, and when they get to a word they don't know, they just punch it, and it brings up a description of, you know, the dictionary that tells them what the word is.
Right.
And so it's really fascinating how they can read books that they have no business reading just yet, just by using that technology. So that's one awesome. Thing. It's really cool. And then
now let me ask this: is it just the standard dictionary that comes with the iPad, or is it something that's built into that book?
No, I think it's the dictionary. You know, the dictionary app that they have.
Right.
I haven't really looked into it deeply, but yeah, I believe it's just the dictionary app. And so what it does, it just, when you punch it, it just connects to the dictionary app, so you can look up any word in a book on the iPad, and it'll immediately bring up, you know, thesaurus, dictionary, all, I mean, everything that you, so you can completely know that word, if you don't prior to reading it. It's really pretty cool. Really pretty cool piece of technology.
That'd be fascinating to see if there's a way to track to see what words they did look up.
No, that would be really neat. Yeah, I don't know if you can yet, but I know that they're reading books that they have no business reading just because they can do that.
That's very cool.
Yeah. And then I'm trying to consume Ping, but I can't get there. It's just, it's got light years to go before it's a consumable, for me. And I wish it was consumable. I really do, but it's not right now. So we'll just wait.
That's another show with Paul Shatzkin, Lucas.
Have you had a Ping conversation with him yet? I haven't.
Oh no, that's why I'm saying approached it. But here.
Yeah, we. Well, yeah, we'll just sit around and go, it doesn't even have to be a long show. It's just, it's not La La. Next. Done. That's all the conversation we need to have about that.
I have my attempt at blogging, and I have a blog coming out hopefully this week, or last week when the show goes up, talking that I think there are hints of La La in there. And I'm not gonna go into it here, so you'll just have to read my blog at nashvillefeed.com. But
if there are hints, they're very, very, very subtle.
You'll have
they're,
to read it.
They're not overt in any fashion or form.
You'll just have to read it, Lucas. I'm just going to leave it at that, if you can. Well, anyway. So here's
if
what
I can
I'm
read?
Concerned.
Wait a minute.
Well, no, if you can read my writing, as oh. in it might be more brutal to read it. So on with what I'm consuming. We were talking, actually this came up in, before we started recording on the show, and I thought that was actually, I might have shared it before, but I'll maybe I didn't, so I'm sharing it now. I'm consuming plugins for Google Chrome, the web browser. And the first one is the like button blocker for Facebook. So you go all over the web and you see all these like buttons for all the articles out there, and some people find it a nice thing. I discovered that even if you're not logged into Facebook, those like buttons, whether you click the button or not, it get associated with your account on Facebook. So they can actually track you throughout the internet where you're going just by another website putting a like button on it. So with this little plugin, it actually blocks all the like buttons and all the scripting, so you don't see them anywhere, which I don't click them anyways because I find Facebook to be evil and I don't trust them.
What are you trying to say, Dave?
I find
tell us how you really feel.
Please, don't hold back.
We would get the explicit tag again, and I don't know
no, that's
if I
true.
Want to go there. the other thing, which is so sad, because now I just went on a rant against Facebook, and this plugin is for Facebook. It is called Facebook Image Zoom. And so instead of clicking on an image on Facebook, you just mouse over it with your cursor, and it just automatically grabs and pops open or kind of hovers the full-size image. So there's no having to click through full albums to see pictures unless you want to see comments. You just mouse over each image, and it just blows it up to full size right there where you were right in front of you. Very nice and handy for, you know, just quickly going through pictures on the website and you just don't want to click through to the album. And that's pretty much with Google Chrome stuff. And then HTML5 up and running from O'Reilly or however you pronounce it. They had a $9.99 ebook deal. Get on their email list if anybody's out there listening to this. They send out specials that normally it's over $30 for their ebooks, and they have specials that are that they run quite often that you can pick up books for $9.99, which I was so excited I actually bought a book twice that I didn't realize I had in my library. But the fortunate thing is that I could return it. So, and then the final thing I have to share, I know it's a lot, but I've been consuming a lot of things, is Plants vs. Zombies for the iPad. Damn you, Leo Laporte, again.
Yes. See, that may be the one reason why I don't buy an iPad, because I will get sucked into that for, you know, way, way longer than I need to. I've seen the demo, you know, on at the Apple Store on an iPad, and there's way more mini games and levels oh, yeah. on that than there are on the iPhone version, and I'd be done for a week. No, it would just gamer, it would be awful
for the casual gamer. The iPad is like crack.
Sure.
I mean, it Josh, do you find that you're getting sucked into
yes,
these mini games?
Absolutely. And yeah, and I get wrapped up for a week, but what a week it is.
See, I already beat Angry Birds, so now I'm on Plants vs. Zombies, and I'm sure there'll be something next week that yeah. replaces either of those. So,
you see, now you just got to stop listening to Leo is the problem. You know, or Alex Lindsay, he's the worst. He's the one that does kind of get you sucked into to the Absolutely. Casual game stuff in Backbreak Weekly. Or it does with me. So,
No, I'm right there with you. So. Yeah. So wrapping the show up, I thank both of you for being on here and sharing what you got going with your the co-working spaces you each represent. Josh, why don't you tell our audience where they can find you online, if you'd like them to find you online.
Yeah, no, we don't want anybody to find us. You can find us at www.espaces.com. or you can follow us on Twitter at eSpaces_Nash, or Dave, I'm sorry. You can see what's going on Facebook at and you just search eSpaces, so you'll find it. But yeah, so that's kind of the way that we kind of get word out to folks.
Excellent. Kaylee, where can we find you online if you choose to share where you are online?
Yeah, I'll share. We are at nashville.colabusa.com. You can find us on Twitter at Colab Nashville. And we also have a Facebook page, Colab Nashville, that you can search as well. So find us there.
Excellent. Lucas, would you like to share?
No. No, that's
really?
No. Actually, yeah, the usual suspects, largelandmammal.com, Twitter at TuneInLucas. Depending on when this actually goes up, you might even be able to see an actual print story. I'm supposed to be covering the grand reopening of the Grand Ole Opry for USA Today, so you'll see my byline in there at some point in time next week, or the week of September 28th, something like that. So, barcampnashville.org. You can find my profile on there and the continued ramp up, hopefully the fevered pitch with which we will approach Saturday, October 16th at Cadillac Ranch.
See, and I was going to ask you about that, but I knew you couldn't resist.
Of course not. I'm firmly in that repetition is a good thing camp right now as far as bar camp goes. So yeah, Saturday, October 16th at the Cadillac Ranch.
And what's that URL?
Barcampnashville.org.
.org?
.org. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
We got .com as well, but in the spirit of it being a true nonprofit, we're throwing the .org out there this year.
Excellent. And I am David Baranja, and you can find me at NashvilleTechFeed.com, where we post this podcast along with show notes and other information that you might hear in the show and other things that you might not hear in this show. You can find me online at on Twitter, MDave, and Nashville Feed on Twitter as well. And just to get our network affiliate stuff out there, you can also find the Nashville Tech Feed at techpodcast.com. Because we are part of the Tech Podcast Network, where we actually get quite a few listens out there. So that's awesome. You can always reach us at NashvilleTechFeed.com, or you can leave comments at NashvilleFeed.com, or I get to use my little ringing phone. Oh,
here comes the sounder.
615-280-0505. What was that, Lucas?
That number again, 615-280-0505.
Yeah, because we
haven't
had a voicemail.
Which spells absolutely nothing.
No, it doesn't. We haven't had a voicemail in forever either.
Well, our fan base has, they know where they can find us, usually in person, and express their opinions about the tech feed. So we need some new members of the fan base. So perhaps, our guest tonight will point people in our direction as well.
I hope so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you, guys. Lucas, how are we going to end the show?
As always, I have absolutely no clue, but it will probably be quite amusing.
Yeah, I've given up. I can't even give money away for people to call in and leave name what the clip is, even though we had all the things in there saying, you can't be dating somebody on the show, you can't be engaged to somebody on the show, you can't win if you've been on the show. So it pretty much eliminates everybody.
How sad would that be if somebody actually broke up with somebody just for a $25 iTunes gift card? That would be really rather tragic.
And they know who they are and don't care, because I don't need a tall Lucas blubbering on my shoulder at Friday happy hour. So
I'm not the only one in a relationship. That's the first time I think I've admitted that aloud, certainly on the on the show, but anyway.
Okay, here comes.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Next week.
It all comes down to this role. Roy Munson, a man-child, with a dream to topple bowling giant Ernie McCracken. If he strikes, He's the 1979 Odor Eaters champion. He's got one foot in the frying pan and one in the pressure cooker. Believe me, as a bowler, I know that right about now, your bladder feels like an overstuffed vacuum cleaner bag, and your butt is kind of like an about-to-explode bratwurst.
Hey, do you mind? I wasn't talking when you were bowling.
Was I talking out loud? Was I? Sorry. Good luck.